What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
Have y'all been on Jungle Cruise? Like
no.
the ride?
I didn't know that. I didn't know this ride at all.
I didn't know it existed.
Any of the references to it, which I'm sure they have many, you know, like many like direct references, you know, I don't know.
I mean, how many people do, like, there's not that many people coming to this movie being like, I can't wait for these Jungle Cruise references.
But at the end, when the Germans are singing that song, I was like, this got to be a song that they play in the ride, right? I was like, what is the point of this if not for it to be?
There are some things where I was like, is this in the, like, oh, the rapids, like him being like, you want to turn back now? I'm like,
it had to be, right?
Right. Yeah, he said it like four times.
Doesn't make any sense within the context of the movie for while they're in the rapids for him to be like, want to turn back now? I'm like, what?
How? Also, I was like, can you turn back? Yeah. Right? You're on a collision course. You know what I mean? But Disney stayed doing this. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's why they wanted to do this.
Because I just saw they're rebooting. Or, I don't know, doing a sequel to, they're doing a reboot, Haunted Mansion.
Oh, good. Because honestly, that's fun. That's a fun premise, you know, a Haunted Mansion.
I think they're
going
to make it scary. It's a fun premise. They got Lakeith. Well, I guess it'd be a horror comedy again. It's like Lakeith and Tiffany Haddish. So that just got announced.
Disney's not going to make an actual, like, horror movie, right?
Disney got the, Disney did Pretty Woman. Their live actions were like, R-rated movies.
Yeah,
at
but
first.
Pretty Woman though.
She a prostitute with a heart of gold. Her friend was doing drugs.
I know, but I'm saying they're not gonna make like a real.
It would be dope if they did. I mean, Doctor Strange is supposed to be pretty scary. Like that's what I got to say.
Yeah, I hope it is. I hope it is scary, and I hope like, Sam
it'll be cool.
I'm trying to look up. I'm trying to see what Jungle Cruise the ride is like. But I can't. It's hard to find, you know, how they.
Oh wait, Jungle Cruise, the cruise,
the actual cruise. Yeah,
watched a video on YouTube about the creation of it. Apparently, it was like back in the '60s. It was like one of the first big Jungle Cruise.
Oh, and it's at Disney. It's at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's like one. Apparently, it's like one of the original
Disneyland.
Big games.
Okay, not at Disney World.
Which I've been to, and I...
Which is Land LA? That's the California one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, these writers have done a lot of stuff. This movie is sort of outside of... No, I guess not all of them.
Wait,
some of
have
them.
I been on this ride? Because I've been to Disneyland.
I mean...
I've definitely walked by this, that's for sure. Because they have like the tiki thing and... I think recently they got in trouble for like, they're like, yeah, this is kind of racist, isn't it?
I don't like water rides sometimes because I feel like it gives you mud butt and I'm not about having soggy butts.
Which one is?
And you got on like sweat because if
it's
you go,
a phrase no one's
and
ever
you have
used.
On, you get I think if you go, and you have on swimming trunks, that's different. But if you're going to the park and someone's like, hey, let's get on this ride, and you got on jeans, bruh. That means you are not prepared to have wet butt.
I've heard of like having swamp ass, but I haven't heard mud butt before. Somebody said, an adult said mud butt to Jarrah because they wanted to say swamp ass.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Nah, man. Swamp ass, when your ass gets real sweaty. Mud butt is when it's not your fault.
Don't try to make it like it's
swamp ass.
Mud butt is not your fault.
Mud butt. Well, I've heard of Jungle Cruise.
Oh my god.
But I don't know about
why are you
What's that, Bray?
Don't ask him what it is.
No, you know,
yeah, no, I mean James talking about swamp bass, which I've heard of, and then you know, you're talking about mud butt. I don't know. Yeah, but I've heard of Jungle Cruise, you know.
That don't make no sense.
Why do we keep doing this?
I mean, swamp, but Jungle Cruise. Have you heard of Jungle Cruise?
This dude, oh my god, start the show. My god, stop. Oh my goodness.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Jarrah Milligan.
What more can I say?
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Okay, pants. Pants. You're trying to step to me, pants.
All right.
That was it. That's the quote.
A terrible rock impression.
Come on, pants. No, that was it. Because he's like, pants. Every time he said pants, he leaned into it. Listen, actually go back and listen to how he says pants. I know that I kind of sound like I'm an old man, but the way he would say pants specifically.
Listen, The Rock and Emily Blunt were selling everything in this movie. They were like, yo, we know what kind of movie we're making. Like, this is like big budget, but
Disneyland.
Also an old school Hollywood feel. We're movie stars. Like, this was a movie star movie. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
For those of you who do not know, the voice that you are listening to now that commands the authority of an army, perhaps, is Jonathan Braylock.
Of an army?
I just wanted to describe the voice that connects to Jonathan Braylock, so you know, the one that sounds like it could command an army. That's me.
All right, okay. This is Jarrah Milligan,
and this voice, you know, this voice that just kind of like is like generally pleasant, and like it like kind of dances in your ear, dances in your ear.
I love how you sing to express dance.
Yeah, just so that they know what it is. That's James the Third.
That's so uncomfortable.
And this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the Disney film Jungle Cruise, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt, as well as, you know, some other people like Paul Giamatti, Jesse Plemons, Edgar Ramirez, I believe. You know, this movie came out joint release on Disney Plus Premium. We got to pay $30 to see it, as well as in theaters. So the Mulan model is now what they do. Every Disney movie comes out on Disney Plus and in theaters at the same time. They're getting sued by a couple of actors because of it. Started off by Scarlett Johansson, and then Emma Stone came in. Who knows? Maybe The Rock will.
Emma Stone too? I didn't even see that.
Brady ripped off all of them. Like, the thing is, it's the back end.
Well, it's because they don't get, it's like there's bonuses for how much the movie makes at the box office, but what's not included in that is how much it makes on Disney Plus.
And these people are all just sort of generally wanting an exclusive period while it's...
Yeah, though I bet a compromise is, hey, okay, we'll at least count the freaking sales on Disney on streaming. Those are still our sales for the box office.
Because Black Widow did like 30 million, 40 million on Disney Plus first weekend. And I was like, give me some of that.
Yeah, it's like, that counts. That's I get part of that.
Yeah, just give me that. Like, where? Come on, I'm Black Widow. I'm the widow.
I feel like that's probably more what you should want anyway. right? Because you can't avoid this pandemic.
I think it is like this kind of motto, like $30, which yes, people can share it. So like, so that comes down. But then if somebody doesn't share it, you know, just one person buying it, that's more than the price of a movie ticket. And then the company is getting all of that. They don't have to split that with the theaters. So they're making a lot of money from this.
Especially Disney, because Warner Brothers, that's just free. Like, I'm probably going to see Suicide Squad in theaters, but I could watch it at home for free.
They said about 30 million made in Disney Plus Premier Access, 34.2 million in domestic box office, and 27.6 million in international box office. This is off of Twitter. So I don't know where this person is getting
from. So just some Twitter user was like, these are numbers. These are numbers that sound good to go.
Oh, no. Hollywood Reporter has it too. Okay. So 61.8 million at the global box office. That's combined domestic and international. And 30 million on Disney Plus. 30 million on Disney Plus. So like altogether, that's 91.8 million start. Not bad.
Yeah.
For this film that is based off of a ride, as we've kind of alluded to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, I'm on the Jungle Cruise right now, baby. Because you can do it on YouTube. There's a
you
VR.
You can do it?
There's a 4K VR.
Got it. I don't know why you have your hands up like it's a roller coaster. It's not.
First off, Bray, do you not put your hands up on rides?
Not on the water rides. You got to put your hand. You got to. Yeah, if you're in the water, I'm holding this. Whatever they got, I'm about to hold it.
Yeah, you
got
to hold on. Don't let them throw you overboard.
Yeah, man, I can't swim.
Also, I was like, yo, we didn't get there. I'm like, yo, for a woman who can't swim, I know you were scared, but you was doing some shit where I'm like, hey, I've been in the water a couple of times and I'm still not this comfortable.
We'll get to that. This movie has been in the works for a while. It was one of those things I remember when, I guess when Jumanji, the remake came out, there was like, still of like The Rock like doing this, and then like he had a similar outfit in Rampage, and he has clearly a similar outfit in this, and it was like, why is The Rock constantly in a safari? But this is the trifecta of those movies, and it is finally here.
And this one, he covers his tattoo because he's
not doesn't have tattoos.
Yeah, spoiler, he doesn't have tattoos.
And what else is there to say, really? It's about this woman looking for the tears of the moon. She finds a person to steer her, to help guide her through the Jungle Cruise, and that's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, a.k.a. Frank. Hey, I know these characters' names.
Oh, my God. This ride is so boring.
Frank and Pants.
Well, you doing the ride from your... Yeah. Seat at
no,
home.
No, 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 James.
It's gonna be
I'm on
boring.
The ride. Okay,
it's also four right. children.
You know you're not.
Remember that. Okay. Oh, Rotten Tomatoes. That's the last thing. James, didn't you pull it up?
I did pull it up. Rotten Tomatoes. We got 63% on that tomato meter.
That's fresh.
Yeah, but it's 63% to an audience score of 93.
Oh my God.
Which, yeah,
93%.
I think I understand why that is, but it's. It's a shame, really, that critics couldn't see what the audience could see.
So shall we? Initial thoughts? You want to start off then?
I'll start. I mean, come on. I loved this movie. This movie was a lot of fun. Listen, they took the script of Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Okay. They took the script and they were like, look, this was a great script, wasn't it? What if we just changed all these character names real quick, change this location? We still got some of the old CGI models of the people from Pirates 2, right? All right, cool. We're going to use those. Jungle these up real quick.
Remember Davy Jones' Locker?
Remember Davy Jones' Locker? All right, what if it was the jungle? What if
It's the same design.
They were like, what if one of them's a crab? They were like, we can't have a crab, dude.
And so instead of a squid... It's snakes, you know, it's still tentacles.
Snakes.
But...
I mean, come on. I was 1000% here for everything being exactly the same. Can I spoil at this point now?
Oh, right. Too? Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert. When The Rock.
For the first time in podcast history, a spoiler alert. If you don't listen to our podcast, please know we spoil the entire film. So go watch the movie and then listen to our podcast.
This did genuinely surprise me when The Rock was one of the conquistadors too. Like I was like, oh shit!
I did not see that coming.
But then I was just like, this is the same thing. Like he's connected to the curse and like wants to lift the curse. It was just the same movie. I couldn't believe it. But I had a lot of fun. I had so much fun.
It was the same movie, James, but they had the foundation of the mummy. So when you watch The Mummy, it is literally like the female scientist, her brother who's kind of wimpy. They got to go find Brandon Fraser. And they literally play it the exact same way.
They do the same. When she's on the ladder and knocks over the...
Same thing!
It happens so quick. But I was fully here for it.
Hey, those movies came out 2 decades ago, okay?
Yeah, 2 decades. And they were like, listen, nobody remembers this that. Unless they're adults, but we don't care about the adults no more. this is about the youth now. The only thing that I was like, oh man, is this going to be a problem, was the like tribal stuff. But then I liked that the tribal leader was like, none of this oogie boogie nonsense. Like she kind of like called it out. I liked that. I'm not equipped enough to have this conversation, but it just made me think about like how so many like magic is real stories are these like fictional legends that we attribute to tribes. You know what I mean? Like, is there some way to do magic is real where we're doing that or we're not Potter. Kind of, you know, that's not sort of reliant on. Yeah, yeah, no, but exactly. But like, you know, like generational magic, you know, that is. But not wizards and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's not wizards, but that is. Because even, I was thinking about, like, witches and stuff, too, and about how, like, we murdered people for being witches. And then it's like,
it's like. Yeah.
Isn't the HBO show?
Oh, Lovecraft Country?
Yeah, isn't Lovecraft Country a little bit?
Yeah, Lovecraft Country is a little bit like that, too. Yeah, like, just more stuff sort of in that vein. That was the one thing that threw me a little bit. But they talk about it in the movie. So, I don't know. I had so much fun.
I think that what makes it awkward using the tribal legends is that the tribal people are always like the side characters and never the main characters. Yeah. I think that's the thing that makes it weird, you know. Mm. It's like, oh, you're just taking our stories and then inserting, you know, white people into the face of it. And in this movie, The Rock is a Spaniard.
Yeah.
Just full yeah. blown. Yeah. They're like, he's a Spaniard. And we're like, all right. Great.
Yep.
Which I, yep. there's a part okay. of me that actually kind of likes that, because I'm like, hey, how often do people of color get to just play a European colonialist? You know, like I feel like not very often. I mean, white people get to play people of color a lot. They clearly got to do that for a very long time and still occasionally sneak it in. Usually have to be pretty white passing, like, you know, like Oscar Isaac or, you know, Vin Diesel, who I guess is white, but, you know, same thing. But anyway, but like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
No one can ever talk about how I bring up stuff. Braylock will find a way to shade Vin Diesel anytime. We're talking about somebody who's white passing.
But I like this because The Rock was like, they're just like, nah, he's straight up a Spaniard. This dude is Samoan and black, and they're like, nope, he is a Spaniard. So that was cool. Basically, I was watching this movie and I was like, it's taking bits and pieces from a bunch of other movies we've seen and just kind of putting it together with a very like loose story about this Tears of the Sun kind of, I don't know if any of this is connected to any real myth. It's probably borrowed from, you know, that's what this movie is. It's just bits and pieces borrowed, and it's like the characters are like pretty flat, but you understand who they are, you know? So it's like, this is like, The Rock makes terrible puns and he's selfish until he's not. And then Emily Blunt like cares about quote unquote saving the world, kind of. She's, you know, feisty and determined. And then the brother is like kind of, oh, I like things nice and neat, but, you know, at the end gets down and dirty. And then the bad guys are just like, honestly, pretty like unforgivably bad. And it's so much so that they leave them cursed at the end, which I was like, wow,
Yeah, they do not. They like, don't get
damn. Tamed. They yeah. like, you didn't even like give them a leaf and then at least kill them. Like, no, they're like, let's leave them cursed. Yeah.
Their last line is, "This is worse than death.
This is worse than death. This is cool. torture." And they were like, "You damn right it is." And Jesse Plemons gets crushed to death.
Yo, that was
so. I was like, awesome. "Wow,
evil Matt Damon. He will never be good because of what he did to Walt." All right. I will never love him. I will never like
that. He's pretty good in that Black Mirror. No, he's not. He's bad in the Black Mirror. No, he's good in something else. He is good. There was something I watched that he's good
Fargo?
In.
Fargo? Was he good?
The problem is, I can never take him out of Breaking Bad. He will always be evil to me.
Oh, he's good in Game Night, but everyone thinks he's evil in Game
Night. Yes. Yes. Yo, Game Night is mad funny. Like, the game is never.
This is a fun family film. It's definitely going to be fun for kids. I think adults can, you know, like, there's enough fun in here to, like, watch. It's very watchable movie. Is it on the same level as Jumanji? Nah. You know, like, I like, Jumanji also was, like, borrowed stuff, but they made it new. It felt fresh. This movie didn't feel fresh. It just felt like, listen, I'll take, like, a, you know, a Jack in the Box burger, I guess. Like, it's like, yeah.
Wow, you calling this Jack in the Box?
You can eat it. You're like, yeah, you're like there's something there. Like, it's like not my favorite, you know, if I'm going to have a fast food burger, but I'll take it.
But I like that, though. You know, it's like it's that feeling of like how at least what it seems like they're doing with this that they didn't quite achieve with Haunted Mansion. They can reproduce it, Jack in the Box, like it's going to taste this way every time. Kind of like almost the, I don't want to disparage Marvel, but like kind of like how you know what you're going to get when you see a Marvel movie. Like we know what we're going to get when we see a Disney ride adapted movie. With this, I thought that was kind of cool.
It's a thing. Like, and obviously Disney's very good at doing this. This is what they do now.
I've been torn because, you know, sometimes I agree with John. Sometimes, you know, I hate to agree with James. It's like, wow. When I watched this movie, I was like, 5 minutes in, like before The Rock showed up, I was like, hey, man, I'm here for this. All right. This may be, like, honestly, this movie felt, and I'm gonna be real. I've been watching a lot of old Hollywood stuff, so I think I'm very, like, in a certain place. It was so cool to me to see The Rock. He had two scenes towards the end. It's like, you know, spoiler alert, once we find out, you know, who he is or whatever, and Emily Blunt is trying to convince him. It's like when they finally make it to the secret area and the water goes down. It's like, it's a shot of him, and it's so dumb. But it's a shot of him being like, hey, that's nice, but I made my decision. And he's like glowing. Like, he literally glows. And I'm like, this is the Humphrey Bogart shot. Like, this is the shot in Romancing the Stones when, like, you know, you're watching the lead actor and like his lead actress, and like she's clearly in love with him, and he's like, hey, I can't do this today. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the moment, and it's a black dude in a big budget movie, and his lead is a white lady, a famous one. And I was like, oh shit, because Will doesn't do that. We've joked about it all the time. When Will is in a movie and there's a white female lead, if he hits on her, it's a joke. Like Men in Black, it's a joke. You know, iRobot, it's a joke. It's like, this is a big budget movie. Then there's another scene, you know, when he comes back to life, and like, you know, they literally do the, you know, she sees him and then they do the wraparound kiss thing. And I'm like, yo, this, and this sounds very dumb. And I told my girlfriend this. I was like, yo, I know The Rock is a superstar, but like that nigga is a legit movie star. Yo, like he is like, this movie was Indiana Jones. It was Romancing the Stone. It was Pirates of the Caribbean. It was a little Jumanji. It was some of the Mummy. And it's like, and it was a black dude, a hulking black dude at that, who was like the lead of this whole thing. And I thought it was so cool, man. I do think it was a popcorn movie, but it's funny because I have never been on this ride. Legitimately, after watching this or during it, I was like, I want to go to Disney. I think because before I went to New York, I kept telling Bray, let's go to Disney. And we didn't get a chance to go. But watching, I was like, I want to go to Disney. Right.
There you go.
Now. But I'm here for it, man. It is big. It is silly. Yo, The Rock is a whole new dude. Like, it sounds very dumb. He was glowing, dog. Like, it was something so cool. He had the shot when he came out the water. And he had the little white tee on. And it was, like, he was still wet. And I was like, yo, you are the dude. Like, this is every movie I've ever wished like a black guy got the star in back in the day, like all those old Hollywood classics. Like, not saying this is a classic, but like this is what would have been made in like the 50s, 60s, maybe the 40s without a black person. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We would never have been in this movie unless we were the dude trying to hunt you down and kill you. I think they tried to do right by Emily Blunt with her character. I think they tried to do right by her brother, which I thought was cool. And I thought they did right by The Rock's character. You know, the villains are, like Bray said, they're like super cartoonish, but, you know, whatever. But also, The Rock is a Spaniard? Nigga, what? That shit, I was like, can we do this? All right.
Oh, yeah, we can.
I was like, can we do this? Cool. I'm here for it. Take your kids. Take whoever to go see Jungle Cruise. Okay? I saw it in theaters.
Get your wine if you do that. You know, wine, alcohol, you know. You know, get, you know.
We are not sponsored by movie theaters, but I'm going to tell y'all, you know, AMC in New York changed it up a little bit. The one on like on Broadway near Union Square, couple seats. Bray, we went there before we both moved to New York. We saw John Wick there. Like, you know, brother, they got a bar, you know, had a little bit of wine, had some snacks. I was like, okay, yes, Jungle Cruise. Got themed jungle drinks. So yeah, you know, that was a little jungle lit watching this movie. You know what I mean? You know, a little jungle. No, maybe not jungle lit. Maybe like, you know, jungle flowing. Yeah, they were on a raft.
You were drinking jungle juice.
yeah. Did you get it, Bray? You
had a little bit of that jungle fever while you was jungling down.
Nobody talked about jungle fever.
Also, The Rock's corny jokes. I was like, this is great.
Yes. I will say I can appreciate a corny joke, you know.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what?
Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
I was a little worried because, yeah, this movie fully starts with Emily Blunt and Jack Whitehall. And it's just them, like, at some early 20th century London.
For, like, 15-minute show. It's like,
I have a sweet spot for scenes like this because of my obsession with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's The Lost World and how in all of the different iterations of it, they have to, like, get permission from...
Yeah, some institution.
Whatever boards to And so, like, this scene was just so him, like, fumbling.
They're like, please, let us borrow the arrowhead. They're like, no. We already said you cannot do this.
I really enjoyed this. And, like, Emily Blunt, like, is mouthing the speech. Like, she wrote the speech. It's like,
because she can't speak because she's a woman. And so, instead, he gives this long, long speech. And he's like, God. Rubbing the ink on his hands and stumbling and bumbling. And she's sneaking around.
She's Indiana Jones in it, baby.
You know, going to steal it. And we immediately meet Jesse Plemons, who's a very silly, fun German prince.
Yes, I didn't even know that was a thing. I was like, oh, they got princes and shit.
Yeah, like, Prince of the Kaiser, or I don't know. You know, this was... right when royalty was about to end for all of these countries.
It was fun because this was one of those, I know I said it before, like, I know it's not a job, but legit, if you'd ask like 10-year-old me, I'm like, yo, I wanted to be Indiana Jones. Like, that's the job. Like, I don't know what that nigga does.
Yeah.
But that's the job. And so to see her do it, watching the first indie, like, he kind of was sloppy a little bit. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, his whip skills were good, but they weren't, like, he wasn't doing all the shit perfectly. So to see her kind of, like, bumble her way through this, like, this is fun. I don't think we've seen a woman do this. Of course, we weren't going to see a black woman do it first, because that's how the world is. But anyway.
I mean, I immediately think of Rachel Weisz in the second Mummy.
That's true.
In the first Mummy, she's, like, she's bumbling. But in the second one, she is doing all of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's fighting and doing stuff. Yeah, that's true.
They upped the ante with her character in The Mummy Returns, which is a good movie.
That's true, because you do have, like, you have Rachel Weisz, you have Ripley.
Tomb Raider.
You got Sarah Connor. So I guess the thing is like, we just don't have a black woman who can do this yet. So
Laura Croft in Tomb Raider, of course.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah, so. Absolutely.
So, okay, guys, we can write a movie where we fix that. But it was still fun to watch. I don't know why I made it a downer. I just, literally this whole movie, I was like, oh, man, this is so cool to see The Rock. Where is a black lady?
Yeah, not in this movie. not a one in this movie. But we do have some indigenous women. We have one indigenous woman.
Oh, that's cool. That's true. But this scene was fun to me.
Also, Lovecraft did. This is the second time bringing up Lovecraft on this particular podcast. But Lovecraft did it nicely, too.
Did they have, like, an explorer?
They just suddenly become Indiana Jones. There's an episode. There's just an Indiana Jones episode.
Yeah, like the one where they're like, they have to figure out the puzzle and there's water, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's like water.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Damn, I forgot all about that.
Basically, we kind of get it set up that she's looking for this arrowhead. She finally steals it. They get away. Jesse Plemons actually bought it with gold. But they get away. He also kills three of the people there because they knew his name, which I feel like was never explained again. I was like, wait, why can't they know your name? I don't. And he murdered them.
I think it's probably because, right, he wanted to keep it a secret.
That he was looking for?
That specifically he, yeah. Either that or he didn't want people to know that, like, that what German royalty was trying to do, you know.
Which I get, but I was like, I feel like you murdering these people is going to cause way more questions than them just knowing your name. It was just, they just did that to show that he was a bad guy. He was bad, bad, bad.
Ruthless. Ruthless is what he was, Bray.
I feel like we don't get the reason that Emily Blunt is doing this for a while. Like, it's not until she talks to The Rock about why she's doing it, which was a little annoying to me because I was like, why is she doing this? Like, it,
what was her big reason?
She wanted to like use it so to like help heal people. Like, she was like, think about all the medical advances we could have if we, you know, got this for science. It was like for science. It felt like in the beginning it was just for fame and glory. It felt like she was just the same as, actually even less of a reason than the Spanish conquistador, who we find out is doing it to save his child, which is like a good reason.
I want to see his movie. I'm waiting for his spinoff.
He just does that thing where he's like, he cares more about his child than like anybody else, and then it's like he crosses that line because then he starts killing people. But yeah, like her reason, like we needed it, but we didn't get it at first, and so that's why early on in this movie I was kind of like, I don't like this. I was like, what, The Rock's just gonna be like their guide and like she's just like just some glorified like explorer, but we're supposed to be on her side because she's a woman, but she's still a white person coming into this
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, all right, this is a little tricky. Because there was one shot of her when she got to the Amazon, and I was like, man.
You ain't supposed to be here.
I was like, this ain't. It was one shot of her being like, look at this. And I was like, I remember I used to live in Harlem, and they do those like tour buses. And it's like the, usually it's like the white people on those double-decker buses taking photos of everybody in Harlem. And I'm like, this feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah, those are Negroes. They are outside of the Apollo. That's where they buy their socks on that little stand. They don't go to the normal store. I was like, what the fuck is this?
They don't go to the normal store.
Why are they buying soap on the corner? Oh, they get their own special soap. It's called Black African.
I gotta get out of this. I need to be not in this.
But it happens, though. It literally.
Where's the door? Where's the exit?
Seeing that scene, and I'm not. Again, this isn't a movie, but like, even if you go to like certain places, like we were in South Africa, like there were tour buses going through the projects of like
Africa. Yeah,
and I just didn't like, get to this do that. Is how but... people live.
Yeah,
like don't give them money because then they're gonna want more, and they would be like, that kid has an iPhone. He shouldn't have an iPhone. Like, what the fuck is this? So just seeing her, I was like, you shouldn't be down here. Anyway, I still love Emily Blunt, so let me not. I don't know why I'm making this negative.
But you are right. For me, the one thing that becomes problematic about it is when you start thinking about, you know, people going to other cultures and taking things for their own, you know, that is the core of this.
Without caring or about the culture that they're in really at all, like except for as a means to an end, which is at the end of the day still what she and her brother were doing, because like even if they have like these nobler intentions of like caring about or like trying to heal people, they still kind of like, she wasn't listening and didn't care about Frank in the beginning at all. Even, but you know, we get this fun thing where like Frank has the cruise, which I imagine it's like both the Disney like kind of poking fun of its own ride, and also partly what the ride is, you know, which is like, I'm sure there are puns, or I would imagine there are some puns that are happening, and they were like, let's just make this his character, and he's just has all these corny jokes, which is great, and like everything is kind of fake, and it's like he's the one who like set up, you know, and there's even a reference to like watch out, there's hippos, and then like some little girl is like,
oh yeah,
but hippos don't reside in this area. I was like, clearly some writer being like, we got to make fun of the fact that this Disneyland Jungle Cruise has a hippo in the freaking Amazon, and there are no hippos in the Amazon.
That's crazy, because there are a bunch of hippos in the water on the jungle. I'm looking at the video.
It's like bunch of them. It's like hippos reside in Africa. Like, you guys are mixing up your continents, as white people tend to do. I don't know. I like the intro to his character. It was kind of fun. And then we also noticed that his boat is like kind of falling apart, and he has to, you know.
Yeah.
He's got to like borrow the engine or like buy the engine.
Tying things up with rope. I don't know. But he has to buy the engine from Paul Giamatti. I will say this. Paul Giamatti's character is over the top. There was a part of me that at first I was like, is this racist? And then I was like, oh no, I guess he's Italian. I don't know why he's here. But then I was just like, this character is like not necessary to this movie at all. And it's so funny to see like such a big actor playing it. But it's also memorable because it's just like Paul Giamatti just being like, Frank!
It was great. Come on, man.
That's also one of those parts, though, too. I kept looking at this being like, all right, if this is Pirates, we're going to keep seeing, if they keep making these movies, we're just going to keep seeing.
No, he'll come back. Absolutely.
Paul Giamatti, like, frustrated. And then, you know, one of them, he'll be on the boat.
And then he'll have a bigger part. Yeah.
Right.
He was great, man. I also like Jesse Clemens, like his accent got thicker and thicker as the movie went on. Like he has an accent, but you clearly can understand you're not where you're supposed to be. Like all those questions and shit.
Well, he was
trying
to hide who he was.
Oh, okay. Once we get to like we know he's German, and like there's a shot after they sing that song when they bring back the conquistadors. He just is almost I'm happy to make fun of it because, like, I don't know what the fuck he's saying anymore. Dungle.
Yeah. Well, I had captions on during that, and they specifically for the word jungle, they put in parentheses thick accent over jungle because it was like he was saying everything else in a way that was definitely clear, and then for whatever reason jungle needed to be incomprehensible.
I also thought The Rock had the very I was very excited but also saddened at the same time by The Rock because I was like, oh man, he's doing such a good job. I was like, how old am I? Anyway, but it's like when his intro, I was like, because the intro to him I thought was so cool, man. It literally did like one of those old school things. Like everyone kept screaming for the skipper. He's in the bottom. When he finally makes it to the top, you have that wide shot that kind of shows him. And then he like somehow swings on a rope around the boat into his thing. I was like, this is great.
That's the entrance you want.
It's great, man. It's so cool. And then, you know, we get to see him deliver all these corny one-liners, which would have been one-liners they probably actually wrote, but somebody was like, hey, bruh, we're going to keep these guys make fun of these. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be real. I love that there was a black dude on the boat looking at him like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, just mouthing to him like the one brother. I was like, this is great, man. Also, it's so hard because The Rock has played so many different type of roles. But it's interesting because normally you would see like a character-y actor do it, but The Rock is a gigantic man. And so it's like now all you can do is comment on like, yeah, I can't throw you over boat, Skipper, because you're huge. Like you gotta have those lines because he's like not normal. I trust you as far as I can throw you, which isn't far, because you're huge. I will say this. I was scared though. When him and Emily Blunt met up, because I was like, man, are they going to pull a... I literally thought when they first met up, I was like, oh, is she attracted to him? Because this is a big budget movie, and like, they could play it where like, they're friends or, you know, I don't know. I was like, maybe this isn't a romance. I was like, or is it too woke to have like a romance in movies nowadays? Or like what's going to happen? So I loved how... I thought they built that tension between the two of them very well. So much so that when it got to like the sharing air scene, I was like, this feels deserved. And I was like excited by that scene.
Yeah, this went harder than the Mummy did. Like in the Mummy, like we can tell that they have an attraction, you know, but then it's not even directly. And they, of course, he kisses her and then against her will.
In the sequel, they're married.
But then at the end of it, you know, we just kind of see them like he's like, I found something. And like that's as far as they go. But in this, they start planning their future together, like before, like in the third act. they start planning their future together. And he's like, I don't want a future. But they're like, at first I was like, I don't think I'm going to like if they have a relationship. And then once it started developing, I was like, man, I love all of this.
Well, she's going after him too. That's the other thing that's different.
Yes, that's the difference. Yeah. I think, and I'm about to say, I think it's a thing of like, to Emily Blunt's like credit. Like you saw, of course, you saw those longing looks that they literally would sit on the rock for to make sure we got. But like Emily Blunt, I found at times would just always do like a once back. Like even if it was a scene, like when they first met, she would give like a once look and like, ooh, like she's just really good. Like she, to me, she set the scene from the very first time they met in the office. I was like, she set the scene. I just didn't know if they were going to actually do it. I thought like once he was like a ghost, they're going to be like, oh, he can't date people or something. And I was like, well, that's, you know, but they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
We also get introduced to, what is it? Maxima or what's the
who?
Proxima, the jungle cat.
Which is, I'm looking on the cruise. That's one of the tigers on the cruise.
Of course. It's so funny because I remember like, he like gets bit by the I think it's a panther though, right?
In the movie, is she a panther?
I mean, spotted. So,
oh, jaguar.
I thought it was like leopard. Sorry, or jaguar.
So she like bites his arm and like, you know, he wrestles her out and gets her to go. And I was like, how is this dude not injured? What the heck?
Oh, bleeding, right?
and then a couple scenes later, we see that it's her, you know. They have a relationship. And I was like, oh, well, there you go. That explains it. And I was like, hey, you know, at least this movie has some internal logic. You gotta, this movie. They did. There was not, I mean, like anything that I was kind of like questioning, it like kind of like it was somewhat explained by the movie, you know, even if it's strange, it's still kind of explained. And it's like, all right, you know, how are they going to get away from these villains? Oh, there's a part of the curse is they can't get too far from the river. It's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, why is the rock like this and not them? Oh, it's because they were a part for the
he trapped everyone.
And, you know, I was like, oh, all right. You know, like it all, it's like, wait, how is the rock able to do all this? Oh, he's undead. Like, you know, he's, there you go. All right. Well, you know what? There you go.
They definitely answered everything. And I was like, oh,
okay.
Okay. You know? Because you know what it was? It felt like someone wrote it, and then, I mean, what is it, like four writers on this? It's like people were like checking each other. Like,
yeah,
all right,
true. Yeah.
How do we make this make sense? How do you do that? Okay, this is a joke here. Because I will say, I loved when Rock and Emily Blunt met, seeing him sneak in. I was happy that he got caught like very early on. So I was like, oh man, is this going to be the thing? He's going to be like hiding the fact that he's not who she thought she hired the whole movie.
That was interesting, I thought. I thought that was...
Because then it gave him more tricks to do.
It became this kind of cool thing of like, there's always some deception going on and she's kind of like falling for it. And then like Matt, like, is there anything real about you? Like, you know, like, first I thought you were this person, you're not. And then then I thought you were a hero, but you're not because that's your cat, you know? And it's like, and then like, you know, he even later on deceives her with the tribe, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
It's like, you just keep lying. Like, you know, oh, you said you didn't know anything about this legend. And you, not only do you know about it, like you're a part of the legend, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was so much. Like at one point, because yeah, when he sees the arrowhead around her neck, that's when he's like, I'll do it for 12. I honestly really did like this. It's so funny because it felt like, yeah, let me know how y'all feel. I was like, yo, it doesn't feel like an action-packed movie, but I didn't feel bored, which is weird.
Yeah. There was something about it when it started.
I think there's enough action. Like, I mean, like they have the submarine chase scene, which is wild to think that a submarine could get in the Amazon River, but that they did it.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how that works?
There just was more, I don't want to call it downtime because it's not that, but there just was more time of them just kind of cruising without the weight of them being tracked or being chased or, you know what I mean? There was like a lot, there was a lot more of that than I thought there was going to be when it started.
I actually think this movie did a very good job of like varying the different kind of action that there is. It's like when I saw the posters, and I don't even know if I saw the trailer for this movie, but clips or whatever, like, I thought it was going to be all, like, mostly just, like, the jungle, you know? Like, you know what I mean?
And yeah, it's like, yeah. We're on this river, and...
But it was like, oh, like, you know, there was, like, the beginning scene with Emily Blunt with her trying to get the arrowhead, and then you have, like, the... You do have, like, the whitewater raft, like the raft scene, but then it's, like, the scene where Emily Blunt's trying to escape, you know, from these people, and then from the sub, and, like, I don't know, there was a lot of difference. And then you have, like, the actual action scenes with the conquistador monsters and all that stuff. So it was like, they definitely varied it up. It was like, it's very much like Pirates, but it's like Pirates, it's like iconic, like, okay, well, this is going to be sword fights, you know, sword fights. And
right. We're going to either have sword fights or cannon battles. That's
and this is like, hey, we'll like, you know, well, tribe is here. Like, we'll try to fight, you know, I don't know. There's like all these different things that they could do, and they figured it out.
It was fun, man. It was fun seeing, because you're right, it was so varied. But also, I think what they did was they made the three leads, I'm including the brother as a lead too, because he was in the movie a lot. Lead,
yeah.
They made them like entertaining. Like, I genuinely felt like the brother to me is the brother from The Mummy, except for like that brother was older and kind of like Weasley, but also scared the whole time. And all he did was like scream and run from stuff.
Yeah, he was weaselly scared of stuff. Yeah.
With this one, I was like, all right, he's going to be like super spoiled rich, but then also scared of stuff. And he was spoiled, but they made sure kind of early, like I think at the first rest stop moment is when The Rock and the brother have the one-on-one, where we learn like, you know, in the day the brother was gay and she was the only one who stuck by him. So we have that moment, but we also saw, which I thought was really cool, is that the brother was mad open to things, whereas I feel like these secondary characters are like the brother in The Mummy complains the whole time, doesn't want to try stuff till he's forced, whereas this brother, when he gets to the tribe, is super into it. Like, even when he like drinks the fermented spit, it's like, when in Rome, like, he's is down for whatever is going on.
I wish I was in Rome.
That, yeah, exactly. He wasn't like, he like tricks himself into being it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He has some great lines, to your point of how, like, he wasn't Weasley and just scared. He was just trying to acknowledge the reality of the situation. Like when The Rock's like, hey, listen, if you have any valuables, you want to keep below deck. Well, I consider myself valuable, so I'm going to go below deck. Like, all of, like, that stuff was, like, really, was really fun.
Yeah, that, I love his interactions with the cat.
I do think it's worth noting that I think this is a part of what is referred to as gay baiting, this kind of character who's like, who is gay, but like they never actually say it and we never see it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which Disney kind of does. Yes, like they do this, like they're gay. It's subtle. It's not, obviously adults catch it, you know, but it is kind of, it's kind of subtle. Like they'll never be like, well, I'm gay. Like, it's like, you know,
It's hard to because like when that scene does happen, when he says like, you know, my interest lies elsewhere and here's to elsewhere, you know, I was like, man, did they need to do this? Like, did we need to go here? But then I felt weird feeling like maybe they didn't need to go there. But you know,
it's more about like, it's like Disney, like doing this thing that like makes it. They're like, see, we're acknowledging like that gay people exist, you know, and we have like those characters, like we get credit for that. And then people are like, yeah, but they're not a, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it feels like they want credit for it. I know a lot of people criticize, for instance, in Avengers Endgame, you had one of the Russo brothers play a gay character in that movie when they're in the, like the group for like people who've lost people, you know, and he's like, I lost my husband, you know, and then that was it. And like, people were like, are we supposed to like applaud you for that? And it's also, they're usually almost always using straight actors to play the gay characters. Similar with Beauty and the Beast, where you had Josh Gad and like his character, I forgot what his character's name of Beauty and the Beast.
LeFou.
Yeah, wait, he's LeFou. Yeah, he's LeFou.
LeFou, okay, he was.
Yeah, And he was like, oh, and he's right.
And
gay.
I'm thinking of Lumiere. I was thinking of Lumiere. That's the name I thought I was saying wrong, but I said his name correctly.
And like
the whole
his character is gay in it, but like, again, we like, it's like reference and like almost even made a little bit of a joke. Yeah. Like, you know, it was similar with this because there was a part of me that was like, well, if he, I was like, that's, it's fine. It's also, we don't need to see him have any romantic interest or anything, but it's weird to me that we never see him. He never even says anything about either The Rock or like any, you know what I mean? I was like, well,
somebody on Twitter pointed out this one joke that we all heard, but they were like this, they called it the best adult and kid joke that it's surprising that they got away with it, which is, would you like to bite down on my stick? I don't know if I want to. He means for the pain.
He's like,
he means
for the pain. He's like, I know what he means.
I know what he means. I know what he means. I just don't need that.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, I think because, damn, I didn't even think about that. You're right, because they could have just, why didn't you just say it? Like, yeah, because Disney always avoids kind of stuff like this.
That's the thing that people are criticizing, because they're like, they're doing it, but it's like subtle enough so that it won't offend the people who would be offended by, like, who are like, well, I'm not going to see this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, we didn't actually say it. You know what I mean?
Think it was addressed in the first episode.
He just loved another woman. That's what it literally could be implied that he just meant another woman that he wasn't allowed to marry.
Right.
Like, I remember I watched Loki and like, I guess they said Loki's gender fluid or something like that. But like in the show,
It is inconsequential to the show. He says it in an episode. That's it.
But in the show, there's no, I'm not saying there's a payoff, but it's like, why? Like this, you said this thing that is a very big deal, but then you've done nothing. Almost like what you're saying now, Brad, is like, we hear him talk about like, loved the wrong person, but like, there's no, wow. I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know. Wow. I just learned. I didn't know that was a thing. And that sucks because I'm thinking about a bunch of Disney projects right now. And I'm like, it is a very Disney thing.
Yeah, it's a Disney thing. It's definitely a Disney thing.
Because even talking about Beauty and the Beast, like, it just is getting a spinoff with Gaston and LeFou. And like the big, every article I'm looking up is like, will LeFou's sexuality finally be addressed? Will they talk about it? Will that be a thing? And I'm like, I'm not sure.
It like, better. Like,
if they have Lando, like Lando has a show coming out. Lando, Calrissian, like, you know, is known to be a lover of like, they even said at one point he was in love with his robot and like Han Solo. I'm like, are they going to have Lando with like a green alien?
And Justin will figure out, like, he couldn't figure that out. He can navigate that.
I don't think it's him. I'm like, yeah, this must be a Disney thing. Like,
no, right. I know. But I mean, I know Ava walked away from, or they parted ways from Black Panther originally, but I trust that he could
get it,
you know, that he can, you know, try to put his foot down wherever he can.
Yeah. Well, see, I mean, I thought, I thought that was kind of cool because I thought like him fighting and like being the one to kind of beat up Jesse at the end. I was like, yeah, give him the hands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They established that he has a good form on his punch, you know.
That was very funny, that recurring bit that they both could punch really well. Like, that was, I don't know why, because they kept punching The Rock, who is massive. But
I also like, and I guess supposed to be like very feminist of the film, where like Emily Blunt wore pants, was to me, like her and The Rock were the lead, but like she was indie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like she was the one getting in trouble, got into a lot of fights, like, I thought that was very cool. And also, it's very interesting because I guess at this period of time, a woman in pants would be very different. So
yes, it was funny to me when he called her pants like the first two or three times. But then the fact that he kept calling her pants was driving me crazy. But then when like when the conquistadors were talking amongst themselves, they were like, the woman in pants. That was really fun. I don't know. Just it got tired. I got tired of The Rock doing it over and over and over again. But like it sort of affecting all of the men, that was funny to me. Like,
there was one part I did laugh at the pants when they had to swim. And first off, The Rock did the thing that I hate to say, I know people are like, you probably shouldn't do it, but everyone does it. Zendaya did it in Spider-Man. Every time, like, the really attractive person changes clothes, someone has to turn, but clearly the person looks. At one point, The Rock doesn't even pretend to try to hide. He just looks and he just goes, wait, do you have pants under your pants?
Yeah,
and then they wide out to show her like in whatever that is with boots. And I'm like, this is a funny payoff to the pants bit.
It also was hilarious though that she was saying don't look, but they were both about to get in the water. Like, what was he gonna do? She was like, don't look, but it was like, I'm about to help you swim. Like, I'm gonna see you.
I thought the exchanging of air was great.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was surprised. I was like, whoa, they're like straight up kissing.
I thought it was great. And then even I thought, and they still were able to have humor in it, because to me at that point they built to it. We're at like hour 140 or something like that. And then it also felt like necessary. Especially when she tried to like grab his head and banged him into the thing, and like, because she was trying to get air really fast. Like, that was a very smart move. But yeah, Bray, you're right. I didn't think about it. She pursues him for most of the movie, which I thought was like, oh yeah.
You know? Especially after, that's cool. She hears the story of like what he did, which was like save, the woman who had the, I don't know.
Wait, so how do we feel about this? The Rock? Samoan in black is a Spaniard.
Yeah, he's a conquistador.
Like, are we? I mean, I know.
If somebody from Spain is mad, they can be mad. I'm here.
Yeah, they play. The people from Spain play Mexican. They play, you know, whatever. They get. The people from Spain get to play, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah, true. Spain particularly. Because I was just wondering, because when it went down, I was like, wait, what just happened? Because I didn't see it coming. I knew he was going to come back.
I mean, his
to
skin
life
tone is like a similar, somewhat, you know, like you can get the people with those kind of like light brown skin.
Look, I was here for it. I was like, The Rock put on that wig, because The Rock, I think in Scorpion King, what was his race in Scorpion King?
Was it not Egyptian?
I mean, Egyptian, right?
Oh, was he Egyptian in Scorpion King?
Probably, I would imagine. I liked Edgar Ramirez in this, was really good. The Aguirre,
especially because he's acting through CGI.
The snake, but I liked it. I thought he did a good job.
Ripping stuff from another successful movie. It's still success. You know what I mean? Like there's a reason that it was successful. Like it's a cool thing. Like, it's cool to see like a person made of bees and honey, you know, like this person's made of snakes. This person's made of trees. This person's made of mud. It's like, okay. Like, you know, this is kind of like, it's definitely interesting. And they had some pretty like disturbing kills to some of these tribes.
Yeah. I felt like Gerard at the end of at the end of Infinity War, I really didn't like when they showed up.
Yeah, and they just killed so many people.
And just obliterate. I actually felt gross that Frank and Lily, mostly Frank, because this was Frank's idea, but like didn't acknowledge that it's their fault that these guys are here doing this. You know, he had that moment of like, go save your family, which was a nice line, but like, I needed somebody to address that had they not been pulling this bullshit that they were pulling, they would not even be there killing anyone.
Yeah. It's Emily Blunt's fault too. Actually, it's more her fault if you think about it. She's the one who got The Rock into it, and she's the one who had this Kaiser Prince on her freaking back, who's the one who wound up figuring out like, oh, if I bring the river here, it lifts the curse. Which he knew a lot. There was a part of me that was like, why did he need her? I don't know. Like, seems like you knew. seems like you know about this. Like, the arrow. But once she got the arrow. I'm saying at the end, even after they got the arrowhead, he was like, you know all about this. Make the tree come back to life. You know? And it was like, dude, just you figure it out, bro. Just mark him and get out. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, you gonna send both of them in that little tree thing together? Not with you in there while you sing a song? And I was like, what? Send a bad guy in there too, just in case. Have we not seen Indiana Jones? You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro.
Well, no, they haven't seen Indiana Jones.
To be fair, the thing the one thing that they couldn't possibly have known was the actual thing that undid them, which was not knowing that The Rock was undead. And so when Emily Blunt shot him twice, I liked that when she was like, I'll kill him. Or no, when The Rock was like, she'll have to kill me for it. I was like, oh, this is smart. And then she shot him twice in the chest.
I love that. Well, you didn't go down the first time. You should have went down the first time. I thought like that bit. I really like the two of them together, but also I'm a Devil Wears Prada fan. So I've been an Emily Blunt fan for years now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, she's a straight up action hero.
Oh, yeah. She's great in that.
She's fantastic. That was the first movie I've ever
seen. She's great in Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, because she goes from being the person you don't like to being a person you do like.
And you root for her, and it's like, you get the job. Like, you get to go to Paris Fashion Week, all that shit. But also, she was really funny in it, which apparently that movie came out a very long time ago.
Yeah, well, of course.
A long time ago. Wow, I'm old.
So did Live, Die, Repeat.
Wait, how long ago did that come out? Don't do this to me, bro.
No, we won't have to talk about that.
No, 2014?
7 years ago.
Wow. When was Devil Wears
Prada? I mean, that
2006. Oh my God.
You didn't have to say that out loud.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was just, I knew someone kept saying.
None of us needed to hear that. So
I'm sorry. Anyway, back to this movie. Oh my God. That's crazy.
I like the seeing him with the different cats. Him telling his story was really sweet. I know this was several scenes ago. But him telling his story of what he did all this time was nice. And the relationship with the different big cats was cool.
Oh, yeah. I love that. But you're my favorite.
Yeah, him going sort of back and forth with is he his favorite? Is he not? The cat being drunk was fun. Everybody threw up, but the cat.
Yeah, then, so they figure out they got to break the arrow to get the heart. Put that in there, put the arrow in, and then boom, the tree comes back to life with the moonlight, but then the moonlight's going away, so then the flowers are dying. Emily Blunt kind of winds up getting one petal, which they kind of set up. It was she wants to do this thing, but The Rock wants to break the curse, but they only have one petal, they can't have two, and The Rock winds up sacrificing himself and crashing his boat into the temple to block the river, which traps all the conquistadors, including The Rock. And then she decides to use her one and only petal to save him.
Say The Rock.
Weird and unnecessary moment where she puts the petal in his mouth. Something starts to happen and then nothing happens. And then she just walks away. And then
he exhaled. I thought he died.
Do you think she thought he died too?
My assumption was he took the thing. It broke the curse, and so then he died in stone.
And then he chose, got it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear an exhale.
Yeah, well, I also had the captions on, so you saw that it was... but there was an exhale or some kind of a breath, so it was oh, damn.
So she thought he chose death. I mean, I will say this, and I haven't said this in a while. We got a motherfucking swirl, y'all! Listen, okay? Listen.
I think the last time we had a swirl, you were upset about it. I think actually what happened.
I don't remember that, James. I don't remember that, okay? I don't know what you're talking about. This was a blockbuster film. It's a Disney film seen by people all over the world. And this is the thing. Black women, I love y'all. I'm not saying black dudes need to be out here hooking up with white women on screen. But what I'm saying is that usually when this happens, it's because of race and it's something derogatory to a black man. They're usually either hypersexualized, something they're not supposed to do. But this shows, okay, that The Rock is just a hero, baby. And this is the thing. It could have went a little further. All right. This is my only problem. It could have went a little further. I think, once they, at the end, when he comes back alive and then she grabs him and she kisses him, I think they stopped too soon. I know the brother was there. I think what the brother could have did, to be honest. Hear me out. I think they pushed a little further. I think they've been waiting for this. And it's been 300 or 150 years or some shit before The Rock, have been with
anybody. It's been 300. Well, yeah, it's probably only been a couple years, a couple hundred years since he's been with somebody.
So what I'm saying is we already established early on because we didn't get the payoff. Two times we saw the camera box. You know what I'm saying? You got to get the camera box for the third time. We all know the rules of threes. So the brother should have been like, hey, Bray, stay with me, Bray. I see I'm losing you, but just stay with me. Stay with me.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any of this. Okay.
The brother could have been like, oh my God, you guys are all my one. We should you guys should capture this moment. Pretend like I'm not here. And he could have took the box out, right? And he could have just filmed like on the box. You know what I'm saying? He could have just been like
what?
Ruined on the box.
So they could have made a porno.
No. I'm not saying that's what they could have did. I'm saying
no. It sounds like you're literally describing that on the film,
he's capturing the beautiful moments. Is what he's doing. Wow. Like when she captured the Rock just moving
with his sister.
For as long as there has been film, there has been porn though. That's true.
For his sister Bray. Forces. So basically, like, it could have been, you know, it's like when you get married to somebody and it's like they take photos of you kissing and like running down. Like,
honestly, and if I'm let me just say this, you know, the brother could have joined in too, and then his sexuality would have, you know what I mean? Like, it would have taken it to the next level. It wouldn't have just been something that they mentioned. It would have been undeniably. That he's, you know, at least interested in The Rock.
Honestly, James? Yeah.
Well, right. That's disgusting.
That's what could have been. That could have been.
And now.
For a child's movie. To
certainly hope no children listen to this podcast.
Listen, is it PG-13? Great. How about this? You could have saw them all, like, you could have saw, like, Emily Blunt and The Rock go back to kiss, and then you could have saw the brother, like, you know, doing a thing, but what you didn't know is it had a self-winder. So he sets it up, it self-winds, and he just like walks.
It's an automatic camera. They have an automatic
fade to black. You know what I'm saying? As he gets close, it just fades to black. And you hear, in the jungle.
Oh no.
The jungle. And then we go to the...
You do know this is a brother and a sister, right?
No, they're not Melissa just said I'm disgusted. No, they're not. He's with The Rock. You know what I mean? And then he's with The Rock.
Yeah.
Listen, the top search on Pornhub is brother sister.
Listen. I'm fully aware of the truly disturbing, very disturbing stepbrother, stepsister.
I don't who is looking for this? Not say, listen, I'm not gonna yuck nobody's yums, but who
yes,
I wanna
yes,
know.
No, I'm a yuck.
I'm not
this
gonna
yum.
Yuck nobody's no, yum, but no, I wanna know.
I'm a yuck this yum. Hey, you stop it with this incest. This is nasty. Nasty.
Sometimes it just be straight up.
I'm a yuck. I'm relative. A yuck incest. Absolutely. Straight up.
Honestly, you should, because I don't understand. So for the clarification, okay, for everyone at home, because yes, I'm with Bray. I'm not trying to trickle no incest.
Sorry, I derailed this. I'm sorry.
It's not about necessarily the brother and them. It's like, it's about Emily and The Rock. But if the brother wants to hang with The Rock and The Rock wants to hang with the brother, I do think
yes, because the brother did say he can buy down on his stick, you know, and that's just saying, that's just...
James, I don't, you know what? Don't help me, man.
Okay, wait.
James, don't help me, man. Like, I think your help may be more problems than, like, I'm good, bro. Like, just, we're good. I don't, thank you. I appreciate you. Yes.
Here's what I was thinking about.
Oh, no.
During the movie. Because when he gets trapped in the, you know, rock, you know, in The Rock, like, The Rock, like, becomes the Rock. He, like, literally becomes The Rock. But I was like, what kind of element could he, because when he comes out, it was like, he could have came out, like, all steel though, like steel, like, you know, he could have come out all steel, like
in
covered
the jungle?
In steel. Yeah, in the jungle, he could have come out all steel, like, you know, who would win in a fight? Who y'all think would win in a fight if it's steel, the steel Rock, and then steel? Who would win in a?
I think The Rock without steel can beat steel.
The Rock without steel can beat steel.
I think Rock can beat.
Come on,
2021 Rock. Can beat
Come
1996
on.
Steel. No. Like, all jokes aside, I really do think The Rock.
But
you
Steel
take
has
The Rock,
that hammer.
I think The Rock will pry that hammer out of Shaq's hands, toss it, and then start breaking the little steel plates off of it. What are you doing? Like, come on, man.
I don't know. I feel like this would be, especially if he was like had the powers of the jungle.
The powers of the jungle.
I think 2021 Dwayne Johnson, human, can beat Steel with his hammer, motorcycle, and the lady. People at home, tell me who you side with. They with me. Melissa, who you think? Think about this. 1990
wow, something
Steel.
Who would win? Yeah, who? 1990. Melissa just said Rock.
Shaq is huge.
Yeah, Shaq is massive.
Shaq is
but
massive.
This is the 1997 Shaq.
Listen, I'm Shaq.
Shaq wasn't Shaq. A ripped dude. He was a Steel big dude.
Steel
you know that, Bray. You know he wasn't ripped. The Rock can lift a car right now.
Shaq was very strong. Like very strong.
He was very strong. He's
7'2".
All the stuff that he was doing. Yeah, in that movie, he was doing stuff that present day Rock does in like the Fast and Furious movies. And we were like supposed to just accept that. Like before that was common stance and move. I don't know. Okay, all right, yeah. Tweet at us. Let us know who
the man had a suit of steel and was running and stuff and jumping, leaping from building to building.
But I'm saying
like 50 pounds of steel.
He don't have to be steel the Rock. He could be the Rock, the Rock. Like what if he comes out and he's boulders, you know? And he's all boulders.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's time for the cause.
That got too much.
Also,
attention.
You said you weren't gonna do bits anymore. Anyway, it's time for the cause.
Facts.
You don't know what it's a mixed bag. You don't know what bits is coming out. I got mad bits
okay,
on
but
deck.
You said no
I
bits.
I got mad bits on deck. I don't know. I'm saying it's I don't know. I don't know
well,
what bit
I,
I'm
I know what you said because it's
recorded, I don't know
and
bits.
You said no bits.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All right, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if we feel like a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On count of three, we're going to raise up our rating for Jungle Cruise. Okay. One. Two.
No, I don't know.
Three.
Yeah, I almost gave it a palm too. It's two black piss, black fists. Palm. Pists? But it was with a T. There was a T there. I said
your
pists.
Searches are starting to come out right now.
It's true. If people want to know what I actually search for, will tell you.
You know what? I don't. I
know that's not the point of this podcast.
I really would like this
but
not
if anybody
to happen,
wants to,
especially on the
tweet
especially on our Jungle Cruise
me.
Episode. This movie's PG.
Disney got to know what's up, and the people listening got to know what's up.
I gave it a palm because it was a tough one because I think this film did really well. I think The Rock got to do something that a lot of black actors don't get to do, which is play, you know, a European. But I do think this might be a little bit in that Will Smith kind of territory of like, not, I don't know if everybody gets to do this, you know, The Rock does, but does everybody else, you know? And is he like ethnically ambiguous enough that he gets to kind of do some of these things that other people, other black actors can't really do? maybe, you know, and also there weren't any other black actors in this movie, you know, which is kind of like, I don't know. So, you know, I gave it a palm. I get why you gave it a fist, but I feel like it needed it. I feel like it deserved at least one palm.
Yeah, I almost gave it a palm too because I was concerned about specifically that, the kind of whitewashing of the race, and then there are no other black actors in it. But because there really just aren't any black Indiana Joneses out there, the fact that he's doing this more, he's doing more and more of these types of movies, and for big budgets and stuff like that. That's why I ended up giving it a fist.
Yeah, but I gave it a fist, honestly, just because of The Rock. Like, I think I knew I was giving it a fist once he got to the end and I saw those two shots of The Rock and I was like, this is beautiful. I didn't think I was going to see a black person be able to do that. So, and also, he's one of sexiest men alive. So I was like, great. He's like one of the three we got. There's like him, Denzel. Wait, there's somebody else, right? Him, Denzel.
I mean, it's not Michael B.
Michael B. Yeah.
Gotta be Michael B.
Yeah, you know. Yo, did I tell y'all I saw Michael B on the street? That brother's handsome. That brother, I was like.
You saw him on the street?
Let me tell you what's so funny.
You ain't say nothing? You ain't tell him I said hi?
Let me tell you what's so funny.
You ain't say nothing.
Is I saw him walking. And you know, like, they're, you know, beautiful women, handsome people on the street every day. But, like, he moved differently. And as he was coming, it was in Soho. As he was coming, I saw people, like, you know, people double checking or whatever the hell you call it. It was like him and some of his boys. And I was like, yo, this brother's like, I get it. Like, this is Apollo Creed right here. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, dude. Like, okay. I was like, oh, man, you could kill me. And I'm not a small guy. But yeah, it was cool. So I get it. So yeah, I was here for it. I can't wait if they get a sequel. I hope they do. It makes me want to go to Disney. So Bray, when I get back, everybody, let's go to Disney. I will go to, I said on the podcast, Bray, I will go to Star Wars land if you come with me to the Marvels section.
Okay. I just looked up Idris Elba and John Legend were both named sexiest person alive.
Oh, wow. We got to look at that.
Idris Elba in 2018, John Legend in 2019, and Michael B. Jordan in 2020. So three black people in a row.
In a row? Okay, cool. Let's get some Asian dudes in there now. Let's get some Latino dudes in there. Let's get it. We can spread this thing out, baby.
All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Next movie, The Suicide Squad.
When does that come out?
Gerard does this thing where he tries to announce the next movie on the podcast. So we're stuck doing it.
Idris Elba is actually top bill. I mean, you know, it's like a three-way top bill, but like he's still top bill.
I mean, we gotta do the Suicide Squad.
That'll be a tight. All right, we could do it.
It's also going to be on HBO Max. So if you can't make it to the theaters, everyone at home.
I see. I love it. I'm not gonna lie. I love these same day releases. I'm here for them. You know what? That's great.
His whole tune changed.
You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Blackmanpodcast.com is our website. We got links to merchandise on TeePublic. We got links to a defunct Patreon, but we have a year's worth of episodes if you want to check that out. Also, you can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
If you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes. We'll read your review on the air. Love the show. I love your show. This is Big EJ67. I love your show. It really is amazing to hear what other men of color, especially ones that are in the industry, have to say and their opinions on the movies that Hollywood puts out. Gerard is my favorite. And as another angry black man, I know you. And then it doesn't give me the whole review. So I don't know what else it says.
Nice.
But thank you.
See, why is iTunes trying to, you know, stop us from hearing our shine?
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
What's going on?
Haters. Hating on the bag. They like, yo, y'all trying to get this bag and now they hating on us. You know what I'm saying?
We will see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!